We have a special guest today. It was a word on time for this morning, and I know it'll be a blessing to our people. We have Ron Brown here today, the executive director of Teen Challenge, and we got a bunch of Teen Challenge guys here today that I had the privilege of ministering to on Monday, and it's an awesome thing. I met Ron for the first time this morning, although he was at the Los Angeles Rescue Mission. At the same time, I was at the Orange County Rescue Mission, ministering. So I knew of him, heard great things about him, did things. We combined our missions to do things during that my time there, but I never had the opportunity to meet him. His heart beats like our church heart beats. He's us, and let me read you a little bit about his story. He oversees the ministry of Teen Challenge of Southern California and its 10 ministry locations. Every county from Fresno down is his oversight. He has served for more than 20 years. He has led multiple residential sectors and various evangelism outreach and prevention efforts to stem the tide of addiction in our Southern California communities. In addition to his duties as executive director, Ron is passionate about leadership development and encourages pastors and Christian leaders through conferences, seminars, and church leadership forums, nationally and internationally. Ron has been involved in ministry for more than 38 years. That's awesome, Ron. You got me by 3 years. More than anything, Ron is a worshiper of God and simply believes that the love of Jesus is stronger than the bondage of sin and addiction. And through the power of God's grace, no one is beyond Christ's redemption. He and his wife, Demetra, have 2 married daughters and 9 amazing grandkids. It's always funny how we always talk about our grandkids as amazing, and we have children. If you don't have grandkids, you'll get it. But anyhow, before Ron speaks, we have a video from the choir, and our own Leanna's in it, so it's going to be cool. And then a couple testimonies with Shane, who had the honor to perform the wedding for he and his wife back in 2015. Yeah, so that's cool. So we're tied up. We've been going to Teen Challenge in Santa Ana for probably 20 years now, and ministering on a regular basis there. They're part of our heart. Like I said, God's called us in the same direction. And so it's such an honor to have Ron with us today. So let's run.
Thank you.
Good morning, His Place Church. My name is Shane Parham, the director for Orange County Teen Challenge. Obviously, there's some familiar faces up in there, so thankful for that. Each one of the people that were represented or represented in that choir are a representation of a transformed life through the healing powers of Jesus Christ through the ministry of Teen Challenge. Those members are either staff members or they were at Teen Challenge Ministry Institute at the time and or now maybe currently staff members, or they're working within local churches, is exampled by one of our dearly loved that was in that video. This morning I had the opportunity, I brought two men with this, and what you guys here have to me, I don't know if I'm doing the acronym right, but it's the Urban Ministry Institute. We have TCMI, which is Teen Challenge Ministry Institute, that's located out in Southgate, and they get raised up and trained up to be able to become either staff members or to work within local churches in the community. And one of the men that I have with me today is Daniel, and he's actually currently at TCMI.
Yes, I am. Hello, my name is Danny. Like Shane said, I went into the program in March of 2021, did the first year program, and did an apprenticeship, and now I'm in TCMI. TCMI is designed to teach an individual the basic principles of working in a ministry with people from youth on to adults. And so they teach us a little bit more about the Bible, in-depth interpretations. So it's been a blessing for me. I'm serving as an intern now in Orange County, and I have the blessing and privilege to work with the gentleman here at Orange County Teen Challenge to speak life into him, encourage him. And it's something that I think I may want to do to work in a sober living environment as I go further. And especially just to stay sober. I've bout with chemical dependency most of my life. And so I just want to thank God for the privilege and for the opportunity today. Thanks.
Appreciate that. Now, Manuel is actually serving as one of our student leaders, otherwise known as apprentice. They actually go through the one-year program. After they complete the program, they have the opportunity to come back for 4 months as a student leader. And Manuel now is in that position to be a student leader where he's learning to apply the things that he learned just over a year ago. And I'm so thankful to have him being a part of our ministry at this time. And Manuel, can you share your story?
Yes. Well, good morning. My name is Manuel Vasquez. I was born in Los Angeles, California, but I grew up in beautiful Riverside, California. I'm 38 years old, but, you know, like I always say, man, what it took me to get here has been a long ride. It was a long, dark ride, you know, but it's all glory to God at the end. You know, the person that stands here today is not the person that I was a year ago. You know, it's from death to life, man. Right now, every time I get the opportunity to share, I get speechless, because all I want to say is just thank you, Jesus. You know, I just want to tell him thanks. Every day I wake up and I say just thank you. Thank you. There's just so much that he has done for me. You know, but one of the biggest things I had to get over, man, was my ego and my pride and being embarrassed to ask for help, man, because I was so worried about what others were going to think, especially my family, friends, people around me. But me taking that chance, man, and that brokenness of asking for help and coming to Teen Challenge is where my life has been transformed. Not just that, man, mentally, restoration, the way I feel inside, even though every day I have to die to myself, every day is a new beginning. But, you know, being here around the staff and the students, and it iron sharpens iron, man, and I wouldn't change this for the world. You know, like I said, a year, almost over a year and a half ago, I was parked right here at Sigler Park, sad, crying, drunk, and didn't have a purpose, didn't know what I wanted to do because I had lost it all. And to be up here standing today in the same place, not too far, you know, and just to be able to say that it's real, man, but being humble and learning all these things and changing the way I thought and the way I was, it's just a day at a time, just one day at a time, and I'm so grateful. And that's why the verse that I stand on is 1 Corinthians 13:7, which is love never gives up, never loses faith, and is always hopeful and is going to endure through any circumstance. Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you, Manuel. Thank you. Thank you, Daniel. After the service, if you happen to have any questions or you'd like to hear more of their testimonies or their stories, they will be at the information table inside the gathering hall, the fellowship hall, excuse me. Pastor Joe made the mention of him performing the service in 2015. At the time, I was attending this church, and I was so thankful to have his teaching being poured in me in the way that he shared the gospel. One thing that within that mention, my bride was also a Teen Challenge graduate. She graduated from the program in 2009. So I'm so thankful to have her in my life. As Pastor Joe had did the formal announcement and introduction of Pastor Ron, I'm so thankful to have the informal introduction of Pastor Ron Brown, our executive director, a man who continues to pour love and light and help to teach me to love in a new way. So thank you, Ron Brown.
Good morning, church. It is a tremendous blessing to be here, Pastor Joe. Thank you so much for inviting me and having Teen Challenge come. You know, this year is our 60th year, our Diamond Jubilee. So Teen Challenge Southern California celebrating 60 years, started in 1963 in Los Angeles. And we are now from, as Pastor said, from Fresno down to San Diego. And we have about 500 plus students in our programs. Men and women who are in recovery and being transformed by the power of the gospel. Can somebody say amen? And I know that that's the heartbeat of this church. And may the Lord continue to bless and prosper all that you set your hands to in this year and all the miracles of God's grace that happens in this place. Give glory and honor to God. And so I just want to say what a blessing and what a privilege it is to be here with you. I've been with Teen Challenge, as Pastor mentioned, for a long time, for 22 years now, and those testimonies always get me. So I just love to hear the testimony of Jesus. It's the testimony of Jesus. So when the brothers and when the sisters are sharing their story, yes, they're speaking, but I'm hearing Jesus because I see the power of God and the handprint of God and what he can do, because the ministry of Teen Challenge has no special sauce or special power to set people free. If it wasn't for Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost, we'd just be trying to do a good thing. But it's the power of the Spirit of God that sets people free. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. And so we're under no illusion about what our part is. Our part is just to be faithful, to keep bringing people to Jesus. And I know that's what happens here in this place, is that you bring people to Jesus. When you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, whenever they brought somebody to Jesus, they left different, didn't they? They came in dead, and then they were alive. They came in sick, and they went away well. They came in demonized, and they were set free. Everybody that went to Jesus, something radical happened in their lives. Has anybody in this place met Jesus? Well, glory. Has he done anything radical in your life? Well, he touched a couple of you. Amen, amen. The rest of us, we still learning and still trying to get there. Amen. Y'all better get in that pool because it's been stirred a long time ago. My brother there 38 years by the pool, and Jesus said, like, you know, you've been here 38 years? Man, you had a whole year to have jumped in this pool and everybody. Why are you still out here? Hey, we're not going to be sitting by the pool waiting for somebody to put us in. Jump on in. The water is good. Amen. Hallelujah. And so when they come to Teen Challenge, they jump in the water and they find out the water is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God is the one who sets us free. And the years that I worked at the mission were great years. So a lot of miracles. I sat in a lot of cardboard boxes. I sat in a lot of tents and heard a lot of stories on Skid Row. When I worked on Skid Row at the LA mission, I wore a suit to work every day. And people were like, why you wear a suit? You know, it's like, you should dress down. And I said, I'm wearing a suit because I want to give hope to those who feel that there's no way that anybody could ever touch them. And so I would sit on the ground in my suit, and some of the homeless folks would say to me, well, Reverend, why are you sitting out here in your suit? I said, because I want to let you know that I love you, and I'm going to wear my best for you. Amen. I said, I'm not out here to say that I'm any better than you. I'm just like you. I've been broken by sin, and if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd probably be curled up here beside you. And I said, I wear my suit because I want you to know that I love you and I'm putting on my best for you. And we saw many people get saved and delivered on Skid Row in those years that I was down there. Hallelujah. Jesus came for the broken. Those who think they're well and don't need a physician, they go on about their business. But those who are broken, they know they're broken. And those are the ones that Jesus came for. So I don't know about you, but I know Jesus came for me. Well, thank you, sir. Somebody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He came for me and you. Praise God. All the rest of these folks up in here, they well. Amen. Glory to God. But we know that we were broken and we needed Jesus. Amen. And he's the only one that could save our soul. And thank God that he's still the same God with the same glory. And he's still marching his story across the world. It's God's story, you know. It's not our story, it's his story. You guys have an amazing worship leader. What's her name? All right, wow, I've been really blessed in both services listening to the worship. Have you enjoyed her ministry? Wow, praise God. What a gifted, anointed servant of the Lord. She sings with the Spirit. She's anointed, and there's a breakthrough anointing on your life. And so, sister, thank you for serving and blessing the people of God. Wow. Worship is extremely important. It opens our hearts so that we can receive the engrafted word of God that's able to save our souls. It gives us hope and encouragement and strength because we're in a battle. We're in a fight of faith. Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. And we're in a battle every day. Do you sense the battle? Amen, amen. But I want you to know that you're victorious through Jesus. Not you're going to be victorious. You are victorious. Amen. You're victorious right now. If you know Jesus, you're victorious. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. Wow, what is more than a conqueror? Wow. More than a conqueror. A conqueror is one that defeats the enemy. More than a conqueror is one who defeats the enemy and also brings some others with them. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God is working in our lives. I want to share a brief word today from the word of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to read verses 6 through 9 and then share some thoughts. But if there was a title for the message that I shared today, it would be Transformed Thinking Leads to Transformed Living. Transformed thinking leads to transformed living. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is speaking here to Israel, to the people of God, and he's speaking to us today. And he says, Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Now, God is not playing hide and seek here. He said, whenever you seek me, you'll find me. Hello? That's what he said in Jeremiah 29, 13, I believe it is. He says, if you turn to me and you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will turn your captivity. See, the people of God were always wandering into places that they weren't supposed to go. I know we don't know anything about that. Amen. We are no different. Amen. It's been a couple thousand or so years later, several thousand years later, since he spoke this to Israel. But he can speak that to us today, and we know that we need to be turned from our captivity. There are so many things that captivate our mind, our imagination, our thinking, and our lives that keeps us in a place of limitation far, far, far beneath what God has ordained for us. But the word of the Lord comes today to shake us into a place that we are able to leave some of those captivating things behind and step into the dynamic in a greater way of representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the dark place that we find the world is today. There's nothing new under the sun, y'all. You know, we look around and we think about all the issues of the day. It's like, man, ain't nothing like this never happened. Look, you need to read your Bible. Everything we're facing today is all in the book. There's nothing new under the sun. It's all in there. Hello. And so the answer that worked for those folk back then works for us today. God's word is relevant to today. And I think in the way that the world views the church, because sometimes we end up parroting and saying the same things that the world says, that they don't know that we know something different. So we got to talk a little different than we've been talking in this last season we've been in. Amen. That's why we need to know what's in the book. If you want to know what he thinks about marriage, it's in the book. If you want to know what he thinks about how to raise kids, it's in the book. If you want to know what happens with rebellious kids, it's in the book. If you want to know what happens to rebellious husbands and wives, it's in the book. Oh, it's all in the book. We better take a second look. Hey, amen. Because God's word is true. He created us in his image. He knows what kind of stuff we made out of. And so when he spoke his words, he spoke to the root issues of our lives so that we can become oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and not a wild tumbleweed. Amen. And so that's why we need the word, because we don't want to be a tumbleweed. I mean, we just kind of roll with whatever the wind blows, you know, whatever we're getting from the media, whatever we're getting from social media. I mean, my goodness, how many voices are shouting at you all day long, telling you, believe this, look over here, look over there. Oh, don't look here. See, it's over here, over there. Look here. Stop. You get whiplash. So many voices speaking to you. But we just need one voice. We need the voice of the Lord. When we hear his voice, we hear life. When we hear his voice, we hear strength. When we hear his voice, we hear hope. When we hear his voice, we hear peace. When we hear his voice, we hear faith. When we hear his voice, we hear love. We hear joy, unspeakable and full of glory. So if you ain't got no joy today, you've been listening to the wrong voice. If you have no hope today, you've been listening to some noise. If you have no peace today, you have not been listening to the voice of the Lord. Hello? Because these are spiritual things that come from him, and they are able to give us the strength to be able to live above the stuff of this world so that we can bring people into the presence of God. That's why he called us. That's why he saved us. That's why he transformed us. Not so that we can have our ticket punched to get to heaven. It's so that we can bring a whole lot of other folks with us. Amen. Who are you bringing to Jesus with you? Well, just us four and no more. No. Well, wait a minute. No, he said, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I hope you got a whole bunch of whosoevers that you are bringing the word of God to. Amen? Because there's a whole lot of folks that don't have a clue about who God is and what's in his word, and they won't know until we as his ambassadors who have been anointed and appointed, given the ministry and the word of reconciliation, step out and start sharing it. Everybody else is telling you what they think and telling you what they believe. They'll tell you about their political stuff. They'll talk to you all day long. You'll be like, man, it ain't that serious. I'm like, oh, man, stir up. God is the sovereign of the universe. Why are you so concerned about what those folks are? Well, you know they do. They're going to make it so you can't preach. And you can't. Stop. I think God's bigger than that. We'll find a way. Matter of fact, persecution kind of pushes us closer to God. I'm not asking for that, but I'm just letting us know that, hey, God will find a way to get the glory out of your life that he placed in there. Amen. Hallelujah. And so just continue to just love Jesus and be happy. Yay. James chapter 5 tells us, if you're in trouble, pray. If you're happy, sing some songs. Amen. So if you're in trouble, pray. 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 You know, someone, that's the last thing that we do is pray. When we get in trouble, we start calling, I'm going to call my financial advisor. I'm going to call my friend. I'm going to call my boo. Stop. Boo. Okay. Hey, you need to be calling on Jesus if you're in trouble. Help. I need some help, Jesus. You're the only one who have the words of eternal life. I'm looking to you and you alone. Help. 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 Do you ever call on him like that? Y'all, we pray some of the most passionless prayers. I don't understand how we can, if you really love Jesus. Anybody ever been in love? I've been in love before. If you've been in love, you have some passion and some fire. Hello? And so if you say you're in love with Jesus and you love him, there should be some passion and some fire. Glory to God. We don't need our sister up here trying to motivate us to come on, get with it, get with it. We'll be so with it, we'll have to drag her along. Amen. If you're really in love with Jesus, there's some passion. Hallelujah. And so I believe God is going to return passion to the church. I think we done got so dignified. I mean, yeah, I mean decorum and all that is good, you know. But, you know, a little noise don't make God nervous either, you know. So, I mean, we go to football games and act crazy. I mean, paint our bodies, rip our shirts. You think folks are possessed. Did you watch any of the World Cup? I mean, my goodness. I'm like, whoa, these folks are passionate. Passionate about football. Anybody passionate about Jesus? Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I remember years ago, I was ministering in Izhevsk, Russia. At a church there, we planted some teen challenges in that country. And on a Sunday night, I was preaching at this church, about 800 people at a church there in Izhevsk. And I'm standing there preaching, and the Lord said, I want you to go do a Jericho march. I'm going like, and everybody's sitting there like this. You're I don't know if a Jericho march means you get up and you just act crazy and start running around the church. I'm standing like, okay, God, I'm in Russia. And these folks are a little bit reserved. I mean, they love God. You could tell, you know, but I'm like, really? And so I jumped off the platform. And I said, anybody love Jesus? They looked at me. And then this elder lady said, I do. Then I said, come on, sister, let's go. And so we started marching. Before you know it, everybody in the church was up, and we were marching around that church. They must have thought I just kind of lost my mind, you know. You know, poor African-American from, don't know what he's doing up in here. But I want you to know that miracles broke out that night. People were healed. All kind of amazing things happened in that service. And we got really a little undignified, if you let me use that expression. And folks were dancing and praising God. They ain't never done that before in their life. Hallelujah. I tell you what. He says our thoughts are not his thoughts. But you know our thoughts can be his thoughts. All we have to do is renew our mind with his word. I challenge you to read the Bible. I challenge you to read the Bible. I tell you what, if you start, I mean really reading the Bible, you'll turn into another person. Because you'll start thinking different. When you go to the grocery store, instead of grumbling about how high the eggs are, well, glory, you'll just be glad you can walk in a grocery store. Amen. Because he gave me legs that work. I can walk now. Yeah. I'm feeling all right today, y'all. I'm glad to be in the grocery store. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I can walk down the bread aisle. I can walk down the meat aisle. Going over to the deli department. I'm gonna pass by that bakery. Glory to God. Amen. Because there's a lot of folks that can't walk by those things. And if you're able to do that, you got something to shout about. You got something to praise about. You got something to glorify God about. Hey, thank you, Lord. Just get excited about being alive. Well, I'm just trying to get through Monday to Friday. Oh, man, you are missing so many opportunities to shine for Jesus. There are people who are waiting for the light that is in you. They're waiting for the witness. I remember walking on Skid Row. I was on 5th, I think in San Julian, or 5th in San Pedro. And I was walking one it was about 11 o'clock in the morning, and I see this man coming down the sidewalk. And, you know, you could tell, you know, he hadn't bathed in a long time. He was kind of looking up in the sky, just kind of talking to himself with his fingers going like this. And I said, good morning. He stopped. He said, who said that? I said, I did. He said, why did you speak to me? I said, because I saw you. And he began to cry. And he said, nobody has spoken to me in 6 months. You're the first person that spoke to me in 6 months. Why did you say hi to me? I said, because I saw you. We walk through life with blinders on. And we don't see people. And when we don't see them, we're not available to give them God's thoughts that are running around in our head, in our heart, and they walk away empty, and we have not watered them, we have not fed them, we have not opened up life to them. Hallelujah. You don't need to have a Bible and beat people over the head. Just be present in life, and don't be absent. There's one day we're going to be absent from the body, and we'll be present with the Lord. But while we're in the body, let's be present. If we are present, then we are able to engage the world. Paul told the church in Philippi, he says, therefore, if there's any encouragement from being united with Christ, if there's any comfort from his love, if there's any common sharing in the Spirit, if there's any tender mercy and compassion, this is Philippians chapter 2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in mind and one in spirit. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. not looking to your own interests, but each to the interests of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What was the mindset of Christ Jesus? Everywhere he went, he saw the multitude. He saw the infirm. He saw those who were bound and oppressed. He saw them, and he was moved with compassion, and he met their needs. That's the mind of Jesus. It's a mind of compassion. It's a mind of being present to bring the manifestation of the kingdom to those who are bound so that they can be set free. Those are the thoughts of God that will transform us into an army, hallelujah, of those who will be warriors for the King to bring the truth to all of the error that is being pervasive in the minds and hearts of those keeping them in darkness. The God of this world blinds the mind to keep them in darkness, to keep them from coming to the knowledge of the truth. But God has opened our eyes. He has opened our mind. Now we need to be available to bring the truth of the Spirit of God and the life of God to those that we meet. But we won't be able to do that if we don't see them. And I remember this man after I spoke to him, and he said nobody had spoken to him in 6 months. And he said, "You know what I was getting ready to do?" I said, "What, brother?" He said, I was counting the steps because I know exactly what time the MTA bus comes. And when I get to the end of the street, I was going to step out into the bus and let it hit me and be done today, because nobody on the planet knows I'm alive." He said, my family has rejected me. I don't know where they are. They don't know where I am. And I was going to get to the end of the street and walk in front of the bus. But you spoke to me. You said hello. He says, "I think I'll wait now." And we sat and we talked. And God delivered him from that suicidal thought. Just said hello. I wasn't giving out dollar bills. I didn't have anything to give him but a hello. And it saved his life. You have more to give than you think. You have the word of life. You have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, joy, peace, faith. You got something to give. You say, "Well, I got struggles. I'm trying to get over some things in my life." That's okay. God will deal with your issues while you help other folks deal with their issues. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If we wait until we got all of our issues solved, we won't ever do nothing for Jesus, y'all. Amen. So we need to go. If we got to like drag our leg, I'm going to help somebody today. I'm going to help you. Amen. Well, look like you need some help. Yeah, I do. But I know Jesus, and I got something that'll help you. If you just repent of your sins, if you just call on his name, I tell you, he'll put some peace inside of you. I'm not promising you no Cadillac. I'm not promising you no house on the hill. But I'm telling you, he'll put some peace in your mind. He'll put some joy in your heart, and he'll help you sleep tonight without having to fight the demons in your sleep. Now, come on, you ready to call on Jesus? Hey! Glory to God. Amen. God is able. I remember my wife and I had come to church on a Sunday morning like this years ago. This was before going to the mission, and the pastor had preached a message somewhat like this about being available to the Holy Spirit and to serve our communities. We were living up in the Central Coast area. And my wife said, "Well, what do you think that message means?" I'm like, "I don't know." I said, "We busy as we can be." You know, at that time, I was the associate pastor of the church. I was teaching Sunday school. My wife and I were both on the worship team. She was working with the kids in the church. And I'm like, I said, "My cup runneth over." Oh, glory. So I said, "I don't know what he meant by that message, but I said, ain't enough of me left." She got real quiet and we drove on home. And she said, "I just had a thought." I said, "What's the thought?" She said, "You know those people sleeping in the park down there not far from our house? We drive by them every Sunday to go to church. And we've never stopped at the park to talk to them. And I said, okay. She said, I'm going to go home and make a crock pot of soup, and we're going to go down there and just sit on the bench and give them some soup. I said, okay. Man, you need to listen to your wife. She's got a spirit of wisdom on her. Amen. And so she made a crock pot of soup, and we went down to the park and just kind of introduced ourselves and started hearing stories and just weeping. And I mean, there were people down there who had been pastors. There were people who had been lawyers. There were people who had been business folks, and they went into divorce and all kind of things that wrecked their lives, and they felt they could never recover. But they were now drinking and using drugs and just hanging out in the park. But each one of them had a story. And my heart was broken, and God just wooed me and pulled me into this ministry that I've been doing now for more than 40 years. And it's been the greatest joy. I think I've been on every continent in the world, ministering among the most broken. And it's been the greatest joy. That's the most significant impact that you can make is Matthew 25. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you came to visit me. I love to go and minister in prisons. I do that in other countries. Went to minister to prisoners in Romania. If you want to do something significant, live Matthew 25. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are from there. God wants to bring us up to high places. But when we get to the high place, we find out that he's humble and his heart is always concerned about the lowest place. There's no higher place than being in a place of the humble heart of Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. You know why? Because we're all in the humble place. Anytime that we start thinking we're not, we're in trouble. Hello. Well, I wouldn't be like those folks. What do you mean those folks? That's you. Maybe sometimes that's why we're scared. Because we know that's us. Because on the inside, we have all kinds of insecurities. We got all kind of stuff that we're wrestling with. And we're afraid if we look too long, we're going to lose ourselves. But I want you to know that there's a God who's holding on to you. He says, I'll be the everlasting arms underneath you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will fill you up with my spirit. I will anoint you with the Holy Ghost and with power so that you can do good. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received. Freely give. Hallelujah. But when we live in a world of self-preservation, then we draw a line around ourselves and we moor ourselves to the things that we think will protect us. We moor ourselves to the things that we believe are going to provide for our needs. I want you to know that my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I don't want to be tethered to the things of this world, but I want to be connected to Jesus. I want to be connected to the one who has all power, who has an unlimited source of joy, an unlimited source of strength, and a limited source of faith and peace. Who are you connected to today? Jesus. 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 That's the simplicity of the message. It's just preach Jesus. He's more than enough. Hallelujah. But as long as we believe we need Jesus and something else, we will always focus more attention on the something else. Romans 12, 1 through 3 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. If we think like a sober person, then we will think the thoughts of Jesus. If we're not thinking the thoughts of Jesus, we're thinking like a drunk person or a person that's high on ourselves, high on our ego, or high on this world. Hello? Hello? Amen. Any sober folk in the house? Glory to God. Then we're going to think the thoughts of Jesus. We're going to look and see that there's no one beyond Christ's redemption. We're going to believe that there's hope for the hopeless. Amen. We're going to believe that there's joy for the joyless. There's love for the loveless. There's faith for the faithless. There's grace for those who are bound. There's deliverance for those who are captive. Do you think like Jesus? 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 There's hope, there's faith, there's strength, there's joy, there's love, 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 love. 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 Do you think like Jesus? Do you live like Jesus? Do you love like Jesus? Hey, hey, hey. Do you talk like Jesus? Do you walk like Jesus? Hey. Amen, y'all. I'll leave it alone. Hallelujah. I know that our time is gone. Amen. But I want you to stand with me. My thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are not your ways, but my thoughts can be your thoughts, and my ways can be your ways. See, everything that's in your life right now, you do it because you think about it first. You had to think about standing up before you stood up, or you would have had a problem. if you got knees like mine, you better think about it. Okay, I got to make sure I get the weight just right. Hey, amen. So everything that we do in our life, we think about it before we do it. But our brains work so fast that we think about it so quick that it seems like we just did it. You didn't do it. You thought about it before you did it. I guarantee you. And I want you to know that God wants us to think his thoughts, but be aware. I want to be more aware of your presence. I want to be more aware that you're moving. When we are aware of him, then we will step forth in sureness. And we won't have these accidental meetings, but we will have divine appointments that we meet every day. So let's make a covenant together that we're going to be intentional about thinking God's thoughts. And we're going to shut out the noise, diminish some of the social media and some of the TV stuff, because those are not God's thoughts, I guarantee you. Most of them are. Those are worldly thoughts that will bind you. But God's thoughts will always liberate you and will set you free to be who God's called you to be. And we're not being who God wants us to be as long as there's one lost soul. So if we're going to be who God calls us to be, that means we have to be busy representing the King. If you want to represent the King, I want you to just lift your hands where you are. We don't have time to do an altar call. I think we already had one. Lord, see our hands as an act of surrender. See our hands as an act of faith that we're saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to think your thoughts and I want to live your ways. Your thoughts and your plans have come to fruition in my life. Now, Lord, breathe your thoughts through me so that I can be your ambassador of hope to a world that is living in very hopeless, desperate situations. Lord, use me. Say that with me. Say, Lord, use me. Come on, one more time. Lord, use me. One more time. Lord, use me. See, we spend too much time asking God for stuff rather than just showing up and saying, God, I'm willing to go. And I think if we just start serving, he'll take care of the stuff. Because your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. But he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll see to it that all the things you need will be added to you. So God's going to add to you your needs. But what we're doing right now is we're saying, Lord, I want to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness in my life. Use me for your glory. Father, anoint us with fresh oil. Let there be a fresh wind of your spirit blow over our lives this year, that we will not be consumed by our needs, but we will be consumed by passion for a God who's more than enough. Hallelujah. And we will take that revelation. We will take that thought. We will take that mind that is in Christ Jesus, and we will take forth mercy, compassion, forgiveness, and we will take your thoughts to this world and see transformation. Use us, Lord. Thank you for His Place Church. Thank you for Pastor Joe. Thank you for his heart that is so invested in you. Lord, I thank you that you cut him out of a different cloth. He ain't like nobody. Hey. But I think you made him unique because of the unique calling that you put on his life. And Lord, he's being faithful to that. I pray for a double portion anointing to be upon him and his family, Lord, as they continue to keep their shoulder to the grind and continue to push forward your glory, your kingdom, and your name in this generation. Use this church, Lord, as an instrument of your goodness and your glory to bring many into the kingdom. Many will be born again. Many will be baptized. Many will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Many will be healed. Many will be delivered. Many will be set free. And many will be sent out as missionaries all over this area and the world in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in us, through us, and with us. We give ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of victory.
That was awesome. I didn't know I'm supposed to sing while I preach. I just learned something, brother. So I'm going to start with On a Dark Desert Highway. Cool wind in my... Hey, guys, have a blessed day. Continue bless anybody you come across. You know, you just have to say hello. I love it that we just have to be present. You know, and the presence come when we're present. And God will give you what you need to give when you're there to give it. And you don't even have to know what it is. And you will be amazed at what God does in you, with you, and through you, like we like to say. All right, bless you guys. Have a great weekend. See you later.